Welcome into Thursday edition of Robbie and Rexroad here at 102.5 The Game. I am Joe Rexroad. Robbie Stanley today, a little under the weather. We have our good friend Paul Kaharsky in for Robbie. And one good thing about this, I have a little more distance. You know, you and I have a little more distance to you between each other, which I think is nice.
You like that, do you?
I do like that. Ian Safar producing. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So, how are you guys?
I'm well.
We're all healthy in here.
Can't speak for Ian over there.
Well, I will say, if any indication on my drive home or my drive in this morning, be prepared for a little bit of a, I don't know, maybe some traffic today. Just complete idiocy out there this morning from people.
That's no different than any other
It was a little bit extra today.
Was it?
Yeah. Just
it's sub-freezing.
Some people swerving.
Make people dumber?
Yeah, just like, you know, quick exit, swerve a couple lanes over, no signal.
Yeah, that's
An RV kind of moving over to the left lane, going 60.
So we're talking 65 here?
Northbound. Yeah, okay.
There shouldn't even be people on the road at the hour that you come in. What time do you leave your home?
I leave my home a little bit before 5.
Yeah, there should be no people on the road. Stay home.
Hey, I by 5 a.m. You guys are on 65. That's great. Come over to 24 for a minute. Come on over to 24.
No, nobody wants to be on 24. The highways are ranked in this town, and 24 is the dead last.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying that by 5 a.m. on 24, it is a parking lot. I mean,
at least it's not a parking lot, but, you know, trucks moving over through yield lanes. It's just wild out there today. So just head on a swivel, people.
It's so embarrassing to be driving on 24.
Is it, Paul?
I think it is.
Okay.
For you. Okay. And not for others. I mean, others have their reasons, but I don't know what you're doing over there.
I mean, it's the fastest way here, so that's why I'm on it.
But don't live near 24, is my point.
I live like 2 miles from you, jackass.
It's not really 2 miles. If it was 2 miles, you'd be on 65.
I mean, I could go 65. It's about 3 minutes longer, but I'm going to take the shorter route.
And you see how that goes for
you. There you go. That's about 2 miles.
See how that goes for you.
All right. So today I'm not sure. We may have Darby Hendrickson, Preds assistant coach. We're going to check on that. We do have Charles Robinson, as always, on Thursday, the 8 o'clock hour, talk all things NFL. We are going to talk a lot of NFL, a lot of Titans today to make PK comfortable. You know, although, I mean, I can
go always. I got a lot to say on Penn State. A lot.
Okay. Okay. Well, I may have to change the rant then. You taking the rant today? Is that right?
We can go either way. My rant is worthy of conversation outside the rant, so we can go wherever you want.
Okay. I will say real quick before we get into the Titans, and of course I'm taking advantage of Robbie not being here. Robbie, get better. Hope you're feeling okay. Robbie, young kids. You know, Ian has young kids. You know, you get those germs. They're floating around, man. I will say that Vanderbilt men's basketball, unfortunately, they don't have a great non-league schedule. We haven't been able to see them against any top teams. They might be like really, really good. Like of the Vanderbilt teams in this school year, which I mean has a chance, I think, to be like the best Vanderbilt school year of sports ever. Vandy MBB might actually end up being the best of these four teams. And I'm talking, of course, men's basketball. Women's basketball is ranked. They're very good, too. Big win yesterday. Michaela Blakes now has 1,000 career points. She's a month into her second season. She has 1,000 career points a month into her sophomore season. So, player of the year candidate. And, of course, baseball's, you know, we know what Tim Corbin's going to have. We know football has the greatest season ever. Men's basketball, I mean, I'm very interested to see when they start playing – in the SEC, they put 90-plus on St. Mary's, which no one does. They dominated a good, not great SMU team last night. I'm just throwing the warning shot out. They might be like 2-3 seed good this year, SEC contender good.
That'd be great. I think I'm like a lot of people in the city. Like I'd pay a lot more attention after football's over. Ability to pay attention to multiple things has shrunk for me with age.
But shrunk with your brain. Yeah.
Yeah. But I also think, I mean, I see that amongst younger people as well.
The inability to
focus on multiple
things.
Well,
young people, I mean.
Can't focus on one thing.
I mean, I think TikTok is probably just going to kill the human race, right?
The smartphones has a lot to do with it, yeah. But, I mean, I find myself that way, too, even, you know.
I still scroll Twitter sometimes, and I'm like, what am I doing? I've been looking at this for, like, 20 minutes. What am I doing?
20 minutes? I mean...
But I'm saying, like, 20 straight, but 20 straight minutes, you know what I mean, when you should be doing something productive? I mean, that's...
You do 20 straight minutes. That's impressive. I do an hour in 20 minutes.
Okay. Well, then you have bigger issues than me.
Yeah, I've got big issues.
Yeah, but you get to drive on 65. Good for you.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I mean, that's a win. It's an outright win.
Exactly. So anyway, I Vanderbilt.
They look good. Duke, the transfer portals Miles, are crazy, man, with this college basketball.
Yeah. So Duke Miles from Oklahoma is... You know, really good. They had some other guys
in. Washington, but, right? Was it the kid from North Carolina?
He's, but, you know, three guys who came back, McLaughlin, you know, Nickel, and then Tyler Tanner is so much better. Sophomore, was originally a Stackhouse crew, had 26 last night. Last year, he was a good guy off the bench, defensive player. You know, he never turned the ball over here and there to hit a shot. He's becoming like a star. Yeah. I mean, potentially. He can do everything well. So just throwing that out there. Vanderbilt fans, I mean, I don't know how much joy Vanderbilt fans can have. Like, no playoff, but everything else. You're getting the quarterback from Georgia flipped. You got great basketball teams. You might have the Heisman winner. Kind of a crazy time for the Vanderbilt
fans. Great time.
Yeah. All right, so Tennessee Titans. So I this is you who got me – I guess, attuned to this, PK, which is, I just want to talk a little bit about Jeff Simmons. You know, we talked a lot about Jeff Simmons. I mean, look, he's the best football player on the Titans. He's having a great year. Good for him. I mean, to me, this is his best year since 2021 easily. And that's not easy to do when you, not that he's old, but when you have some injuries and you maybe fall off a little bit. I mean, I think what he did to get himself in shape was smart and has been very impactful. But I also feel, PK, a couple things. One, sounds like he's this is wearing on him. Like, even as much losing as he has endured here, like this season, and maybe Titans fans feel the same way. Maybe you and people who cover this team on a daily basis feel more the same. I don't know. You tell me. It just seems like some of his comments, like the weight of it, is hitting him. And I wonder, you know, we're going to hear from him and some of the stuff he said, but also I wonder from you. You have been critical of him, so have we, about not being a great leader. I've heard this year some things about him as a leader that's like, you know, from media in this town, that I'm like, maybe pump the brakes a little. Right? Like, I think there's, in some ways, he's very effective, but is he in every way? But two questions for you. Is he okay? And also, is he turning into, like, the guy who, you know, leads the Titans out of all this stuff at some point? He's the face of that.
I mean, he's better in the leadership department, for sure. You know, but I don't think he's built to be the guy for a team. I don't know how many defensive tackles are built to be the guy. I mean, unless you're Aaron Donald, that's not. There are limitations for certain positions, right? You know.
Yeah, I guess. But I feel like you could probably find someone at every position who has been that guy just because of personality, don't you think so? I mean, obviously your quarterback and is going to be, and maybe, I guess maybe middle linebackers, just, I don't know, whatever. Seems like a lot of safeties are good leaders.
I mean, the same way that Cam Ward needs a lot more help, Jeffrey Simmons needs a lot more help. I expected that he was getting more help when they recrafted this roster in a lot of ways. And I think Cody Barton's trying like hell to lead. But this goes back to that big debate I had with Vrabel about, you know, do you need to be productive to lead? I think you absolutely need to be productive to lead. So I think Cody Barton speaking like a leader and acting like a leader is diminished when he doesn't play like a leader. And so that weakens him. I think Amani Hooker, who's been a good leader on this team but is a quieter guy, has weakened his status as a leader this year when he hasn't played well after getting an extension. And I still think Jeff is the person that everybody's looks to, maybe too much, and B, listens to, because he is a willing speaker taking on that role. But he's clearly miserable and, you know, done trying to paint the happy face on an unhappy situation.
So, first of all, I agree with you on the Vrabel debate. Who was, remind me, who?
Deion Lewis is the person I was persistently asking about, who he kept casting as a leader, listing as a leader. And I was saying, don't you have to be doing something in order to lead?
Was that post Derrick Henry taking over in the backfield?
No, I think it was while things were in flux. But then, you know, then I got in a sticky situation because I asked Logan Ryan about it. Logan Ryan said, yeah, you have to produce to lead. And then I wrote a story saying, yeah, well, here are two Super Bowl winners with different views on it. And Logan took it as me kind of trying to pit him against Vrabel, which I wasn't doing.
But it's so weird that Logan Ryan, who is a really smart guy, got so sensitive about that.
Well, what happened is he heard from a lot of his buddies in New England who were like, oh, you and Vrabes going at it, huh? And he didn't react to that well.
Now I remember all this. Deion Lewis as a great leader. He's a great blocker of media.
I was
going to
say, probably
people.
Get you blocked on Twitter, yeah. PK, for that.
Yeah, he leads the charge to block the people.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you absolutely have to be one of the best players to be a leader. You can be a wow, NWI, good for you, or Aaron Brewer, whatever. Like, look at those
right.
guys. They're overachieving.
Lead beyond your stature.
Lead. Yeah, you need to be one of the best players. And then, so I have another question as it relates beyond Jeff to that point, and we will get to that next. Also, hit us up on the game phone and text line, driven by Wilson County Hot. WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got this. WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And also the YouTube chat. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex are 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex are 1025 The Game. Text line, again, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let me say that clearly and correctly. Liam McLeod. I didn't even see his text early in the show. He's like, can we please talk about my Vanderbilt basketball team? I didn't even see it.
I just did it. You're just jiving with him.
And he's like, I know the Titans are PK's thing, but Robbie is out. Joe, let's talk some basketball.
He did.
It's been, I will say this again, a quick little college basketball interlude. You know, college basketball this year has done a great job. Now, they've had two massive ratings games already, 6 million plus, peaking at 15 million. Now, both of those games we're drafting off NFL games on Thanksgiving. But still, overall, college basketball has done a way better job of giving us really good games consistently from top teams. We've got you're going to be at the Bridgestone this weekend, PKM? Little Gonzaga, Kentucky Friday, little Tennessee, Illinois Saturday. I'm going to be at both games. You'd be there?
I'm going to Cleveland this weekend.
Well, that's not till Saturday.
The site of my birth.
I mean, really, you could get up there like early Sunday, you know?
I'm going to Cleveland this weekend, Saturday, the city of my birth.
I was born outside of Cleveland.
Were you?
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Painesville Hospital. Look Painesville, Ohio.
I was born there at the Cleveland Clinic.
I lived there until I was 12.
Nice.
I lived there till I was
seven. Some Ohio roots. So I hope you guys are both able to drive better than most people from Ohio.
That a thing? Ohio's bad drivers?
Oh, you didn't know this? It's insane.
Like, I'm thinking about not getting a car this time and just living by Uber.
I mean, are you downtown? Why not? Why
downtown.
Get a car?
Here's why. Because coming out of NFL stadiums, even as late as I do, they keep this bubble on. Do you get this? I know you go to a college game once in a while. They let you. Uh-huh. They keep the bubble on. And so I can't come out of the media exit and get an Uber there. Like, and then I don't know where the Uber area is at 9 p.m. on a Sunday night in the cold. And the Uber driver can't explain to me where he is. And I spend an hour walking around finding the area the Uber driver is allowed to go, even though there's nobody there.
Yeah.
And I want the Uber right here outside the media entrance.
Right.
That's the reason I don't do it sometimes.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a pain. I mean, some places I think are easier than others. You just go find a place, right?
Yeah.
Some aren't.
But I think I'm going to Uber this
week. I mean, when the Titans were in Cleveland last time, I know I stayed like a two-block walk away. I mean, there's a lot of hotels.
No, I love staying downtown Cleveland. And I've got a particular hotel that I'm particularly fond of.
So then why do you need an Uber?
For the reason I told you. No, for a car, for the reason I told you. to be able to get back on a freezing cold Sunday night.
Okay, so you're not – so because I'm talking about two blocks away. You don't need an Uber. You walk.
Oh, yeah, I'm not two blocks away. Yeah, okay. I'm a little further.
All right. Did someone say 6'7"? Apparently on the YouTube chat there's a lot of 6'7".
6'7"! 6'7".
Oh, I'm sorry I did that. All right, let's get back into
apparently 41. There's a rumor that 41 is coming on strong. Jim Wyatt, whose daughter is a teacher and whose wife is a teacher. Okay. And I don't know if they're setting him up, but they told him that 40 to look out for 41.
41.
Could be the new
okay,
thing.
Okay, well, 6'7", is it? What's the 41
I
thing?
Don't know the hand. He didn't know the hand gesture. Okay. He was not completely informed. He was just getting us ahead of the curve to look out for 41.
Is it 41 or 4-1?
41, it sounded like.
Okay. If that happens.
If that happens, you heard it here first, and Wyatt is really ahead of the curve.
We got the scoop if that happens. Wow, interesting.
Look out for 41.
I don't think we need any more of these. We really don't need any more of this. We really don't.
No, I think we're living in a world where two digits are always going to be a thing.
Is that right?
It's a matter of which two.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. That's just wonderful.
Your daughter should be in on this. Go home and ask her about 41.
I will. I'll ask her about
41. Text her during the next break about 41.
Okay. All right. We'll see if we can get down to the bottom of this.
I'll text Simon, too.
There we go. Okay, so on the leadership thing, PK, who else? Moving forward for the Tennessee Titans, and we both, I think we agree, you have to be at least a good player. You can be a leader on a team as a good player. You don't have to be a star. You don't have to be one of the top three or four stars, I don't think. It helps, but you can. There are some people who are, you know, I mean, there's teams have had like fullbacks or whatever, yeah, who they just have that natural leadership ability. Moving forward, though, leadership is important. I mean, like the culture is most dictated by, do you have good players and do you win? Do you have good people that can win football games so people aren't pissed all the time? Oh, all of a sudden the culture is way better. But you got to have leadership. So beyond Simmons, and like you said, Hooker is a guy, but he's quiet, right? That's not really, you know, that's not really. Who do you see maybe among some of these young guys who we know are going to be around at least 2-3 years who might have that to them?
Well, again, not great positionally, but Skoronski is definitely leadership material. I think he speaks well to every issue, and he's a good to very good player now. You know, that can get obscured because the guy next to him's not doing very well on either side. I thought Levin played rather well, but Cushenberry's not playing well, and Dan Moore is what Dan Moore is. But I think Peter Skoronski is what you want as a guy who can speak smartly to every issue and plays at a high level.
Is he a guy, though, who will, you know, like hold people accountable kind of guy?
I think so.
Yeah,
I mean,
think
he
so?
Said the okay. day after – the first time we talked to them after Callahan was let go, he said, yeah, it was time for a change. That's a big statement for a guy to make. And he and Chig both said it. I think Chig's a little flaky, you know, and he just doesn't have a big enough role to be one of those guys. And his future is in doubt, you know. I mean, I think Skoronski's here. He's a building block guy, whatever you say about them having spent the pick on the guard. But, look, it's thin. Cedric Gray has the potential to be a guy like that. Still early, right?
Okay.
Still early. But I think you
and that's a position that you see that
you
a
like
lot.
That
Wesley
from.
Woodyard was a I yeah. think a leader
but,
here.
But
you know.
Cody Barton to me is kind of a bust at that because he's not a good player. And Cody Barton, I think, has been under highlighted as a bad move by Mike Borgonzi. Cody Barton is not that much cheaper than Ernest Jones. And they shipped out Ernest Jones because they said Ernest Jones is going to be too expensive. And then I don't know who they were bidding against for Cody Barton, who was kind of a journeyman, like he's a okay inside linebacker who could bring us some energy and some pizzazz. But, hey, when it's time for the next contract, we're going to let him walk. He moved around to three teams like that. And then the Titans say, oh, we're going to pay this guy, and he's going to be a foundational guy for us. And he's just not that good.
You got DK, you know, what about a guy like that? I mean, again, we're talking rookies.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are emerging personalities. So, I mean, he can lead through performance. Winston, I think, has a ways to go. I think Winston's being overrated right now. I think he's a,
as a player.
Yeah, good in the box. He's had some coverage issues. Denard, you know, spoke reasonably of him. Yeah, he's making mistakes. He's not going to make those mistakes a second time, but he's being asked to play nickel. Playing nickel coverage-wise is different than playing safety coverage-wise. You know, you're tracking the guy longer and all of that. I've got grace for him, but, you know, like I disagree with my film guy who's saying he's, you know, third or fourth best player on the team. I don't see that. I think that's projecting a little bit.
Wow.
I think there's
this
reason
is
to
Drew saying
yeah,
this?
I think there's optimism for him, but I don't – I think he's made some plays. But I don't think he's steady enough to rank that high yet.
Yeah, that's pretty early. I got a couple things. So someone on the text line says 4-1's already old in my household. So apparently it's not like total BS. So that's good. Boy, I'm actually really interested to ask the high school sophomore here about this. Joey from Bellevue wants me to ask you about the Chelsea result yesterday. Just good or bad?
Listen, they come off a good result Sunday where they're down to 10 men. And they draw with Arsenal, who's at the top of the table. And then they get slammed by a not good team on Wednesday. They're just too inconsistent. I didn't see it. I just read about it. But very disappointing.
Okay. Well, then I guess Joey from Bellevue is not a Chelsea fan then. All right. We've got a call here. Ron wants to talk about Bud Adams in the Hall of Fame. Ron, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. How are y'all?
Great. Good.
So, PK, what's your take on this Bud Adams business? I mean, the fact that Robert Kraft gets in with all of his personal scandals, and I mean, it's embarrassing to the league. And, you know, I know Bud was a polarizing figure in his life. Is the man just not ever going to get in?
Probably not. But Kraft is not in. Kraft is a finalist now.
I stand corrected.
So Robert Kraft got the contributor finalist. Bill Belichick gets the coach finalist. Elsie Greenwood, Ken Anderson, Roger Craig, the three senior finalists. Up to three of those guys could get in if they got 80%. You can vote for three of them. I don't think Kraft's got a chance. I don't think the way it's set up now, I don't think we'll ever vote for a contributor over senior players or a coach. And I think Belichick's obviously an automatic. I don't understand the Ken Anderson case, really. Completed a lot of passes, but he was never like the best quarterback of his generation or even at the top. But there's a big push for him from senior committee people. But Bud Adams is not getting in for whatever reason. His eccentricities.
Well, I guess I just go back and look at it this way. Hal Davis is in, right?
Yeah.
Hunt's in. Ralph Wilson's in. Bud Adams was the fourth part of getting the AFL off the ground.
He had insufficient PR back at the time. And now I think if he's going to get in, it's going to be a whole nother generation of voters hearing his story for the first time. That's his chance.
Thank you, Ron.
Who's going to tell his story?
Yeah, somebody good.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. No, it's a good, you know, we can get in that a little bit too if you want. But, I mean, we've talked about it before. I mean, he has a compelling case. He does not have enough, momentum for it. So when we come back, we could stay on the Titans. We're also, at some point, we need to talk about Penn State and the worst recruiting class in all of America, Penn State. How about
that? And a controversial story that The Athletic did about the Penn State Open.
Okay. Robbie and Rex are 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Paul Kaharski in for Robbie. And, all right, we're going to talk about Penn State here since you have to cry about stuff that is dumb. But that's fine. I'll let you have your say, and then I'll dunk on you
all right,
so that everybody can understand what really happened. But let's review quickly here. Penn State fired James Franklin in October, got ahead of the curve. You know, they've had a long time.
A lot of good it did them.
Yeah, they've had a long time to kind of look around, and, you know, immediately the immediate thought, and I think the immediate outreach was Kurt Cignetti at Indiana, a yinzer, that Kurt Cignetti, and immediately Indiana locked him up with a big raise, and nope, I'm staying in Indiana. Matt Rhule at Nebraska, who I don't know if Nebraska fans are excited about this, but You know, he played linebacker for Joe Paterno at Penn State, as a walk-on there, has done good things at previous stops. Nebraska locks him up and then proceeds to look really bad late in the season. They did lose their quarterback. A lot of other possibilities out there have come and gone. You know, you got Jeff Brohm and all these people who – Kalani Sitake clearly was the focus recently. He decided to re-up with BYU. So, in the meantime, Pat Kraft, the AD, continues – I mean, this coaching search is not unlike, to me, the Tennessee coaching search of 2017. Now, there's no Shiano Sunday as part of this coaching search, but, like, it's amazing – the swings and misses that a job like Penn State could have. So you got the crumble cookie. Did you see the crumble cookie thing?
No.
This is where college football is amazing. So the Sitake thing apparently turns into a bidding war, including BYU alum who is, I don't know if he's CEO of crumble cookie or whatever.
It's like based out of Utah or something.
Yeah, so he gets in it, and it's like, no, we're not losing – Kalani, you know, goes big, right? So yesterday at the Virginia Tech signing day, James Franklin, hired by Virginia Tech. I'm very excited as a Hokies fan. At the signing day event for Virginia Tech, they have a bunch of boxes of crumble cookies there. There's no way that's a coincidence that James Franklin's throwing the crumble cookies on there to throw a little shade at Penn State. That's a beautiful thing. But anyway, Penn State is sitting here right now. I mean, their recruiting class, by at least one service, 136 of 136, okay?
Like, you got two players, right?
Well, they did get a quarterback who flipped, I forget from who, a four-star quarterback, to play just, I'll play for somebody at Penn State, let's go. But, like, they have allowed this recruiting class. And, look, I understand there's the portal and there's all that stuff, and you can make – things up like you couldn't before, but a completely empty, dead recruiting cycle, that's not good. That is not good. Like, there's still every class. You look at any team out in college football, there's a few guys from every class who matter to the team, even with the portal, even with all that stuff. It's quite a disaster at Penn State.
Well, a couple things. Penn State strikes me as similar to Tennessee, like with an unrealistic view of itself.
Okay.
Like, lives in its glory days and thinks it's better than it is. Now, I know Tennessee went to the playoffs last year, but Tennessee fans view Tennessee to be what it was in its glory days as opposed to what it is now, which is a team that appears, you know, 15th in the poll sometimes.
I mean, they've been in the top five in the last few years, but okay, keep going.
But then
keep digging.
I'm a subscriber to The Athletic, a site that I admire very much. But
great.
we just talked about Chelsea. I mean, I read six stories about Chelsea last night in The Athletic.
Six? We had six?
I mean, the coverage is unbelievable. Yeah. I understand absolutely
our
everything that's going on with Chelsea. But I read this story, Penn State Emergency Coaching Search Committee, six solutions for the Nittany Lions. Somehow you get the top byline on five bylines on this, and it's crap.
Put that in your
story.
Face. Put that in your pipe.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
Yeah, well, he never mentions it. He talks about this the poll that he's involved in. It sounds like it's a 102.5 The Game poll. He never mentions The Athletic. You should play that more often, because I think a lot of people think that he's, you know, with Chase and Joe on a poll in the office.
Yep, get another shameless plug from Joe Rexroad.
There we go.
I haven't heard this often enough. But these are the candidates that this emergency poll yesterday puts together.
Yeah, which we did yesterday morning, by the way.
Yeah, Kalen DeBoer. Yeah, I'm sorry. Nothing written here is convincing to me that he would leave Alabama. So if there's a realistic chance that he's leaving Alabama for Penn State, whoever wrote that section did a poor job, because I'm not convinced by this at all that there's a realistic chance the guy's leaving Alabama for Penn State. Let me do the whole thing.
Okay.
Jeff Brohm, and then there's immediately a thing under it that, oh, Brohm has reaffirmed that he's staying at Louisville.
Yes, after the story came out.
Okay,
yes.
Well, then give me another guy after
okay.
that. So now we've got two out of six that are not possibilities. Then one genius, the guy who has the top line, and it gives me Bob Chesney, who's the coach at UCLA already.
You're not going to let me tell you why you're being an idiot?
After I finish.
Okay.
So far, I've got three coaches that I think have zero possibility of being the coach at Penn State. This is an informative article. I'm reading about three guys who can't come.
I'd like to help you right now, but then I've got
Monken. I like that. That's a good, realistic possibility. So far, it reads like an article that should have been about Monken. As the potential
Monken? Head coach. Monken? Who are you talking about?
Then Campbell. Seems like a reasonable candidate, but if it was going to happen, it seems like it should have happened already. Terry Smith, the interim, I guess you automatically mentioned the interim in every circumstance, except the Tennessee Titans, where the interim should never be mentioned. This article is half about guys who are not going to have the job. A crap article. Go ahead, defend yourself.
Well, I'll defend my choice, which is Bob Chesney. For people who don't know, Bob Chesney and Penn State were talking. Basically, Penn State looked at Bob Chesney as he's the James Madison coach, by the way, who's had tremendous success at a lot of different levels. We know what's been happening with James Madison coaches lately. Kurt Cignetti goes to Indiana. By the way, Vanderbilt basketball, pretty happy with their James Madison coaching hire. But Bob Chesney was Penn State's safety. He was their backup. And they're flirting with Kalani Sitake. They think they're going to get Kalani Sitake. Bob's like, UCLA comes after Chesney? Okay.
That's a shock that Sitake, by the way, was not mentioned in this article.
Yeah, he's mentioned in the lead.
No, it's surprising that nobody put him down as a prime candidate for the Penn State job.
Do you want me to give you facts, or do you want to scream at a cloud? Okay, well, Bob Chesney goes out to UCLA, and we're still waiting on that contract to be signed. We're still waiting on what are the details? Is it official? If you're Bob Chesney, and you all of a sudden see, Sitake fell through, it's a pride thing a little bit, right? It's like, they kind of dissed me, and I was just their backup. I committed to UCLA. I haven't signed with UCLA. I could take the Penn State job potentially. Again, I'm suggesting that Penn State says, Bob, come on, which happens sometimes in coaching searches. And if he truly hasn't signed, and even if he has, you could pay UCLA. There's some talk out there that it wouldn't be that much to get Bob Chesney. So you're wrong. It's absolutely a viable candidate. And I tell you what, man, you can rip on the Kalen DeBoer thing all you want. Kalen DeBoer, everything's fine. They got it together this year. He has seen what it is to replace Nick Saban in Alabama. Do not just dismiss the idea that a very good job could be appealing to him and take him out of Tuscaloosa. So there's two. What's the other one you cried about? Matt Campbell. Okay, so Matt Campbell's at Iowa State.
Brom
reaffirmed. Brom, when that was written, Brom was the focus of their search. Okay, after it's written, Brom said, okay, I'm staying at Louisville. So you basically have nothing to cry about, but you cried. Good job.
For DeBoer, is Penn State a good job?
Is Penn State as good a job as Alabama? No. If you kind of realize that, if you aren't winning a title every other year, these people are going to be furious with you. And also, you're from, South Dakota and you're in Tuscaloosa and you're like, good God, what is going on here? Penn State isn't a terrible parachute, man. I hear what you're saying about Penn State and Tennessee. Penn State's last national title was 1986. So, Tennessee's was 1998. So, it's even a longer. But Penn State's also had a lot of teams in that time between then and now that were contenders. It's a very good job. It's a top 10 job, right? Penn State, clearly a top 10 job in America, I would say. 10, 12, I guess you'd have to go through them because there's a lot of...
Does the conference realignment shift all that kind of stuff? It used to be Big Ten, you only had Ohio State and Michigan to kind of compete with. Now, you throw in Oregon, USC, it makes it tougher.
Yeah, it does, but these conferences are so big, you might not play some of those teams for 3 years in a row.
That's true.
But, the bottom line is... The support for that program there, and they've gotten the NIL figured out, although then James Franklin got it figured out and then got fired. And the resources of the Big Ten and all that,
Ever winning the conference?
Now, I don't want to live in State College, Pennsylvania, for anybody who's ever been there. I've been there many times. That's not a draw, but,
It just feels like if you're Penn State and you're going to fire Franklin, you should have something lined up, right?
Yes. They've completely... botched this to high levels, as Gaharski just botched his criticism
Bill O'Brien had a better second year at BC, He went, what, it's 7-6 first year. Then huge step back this year. Would they win 2 games, 2-10? If he had gone 7-6 again, if he had had 2 7-6 years at BC in play there?
I don't know. It's interesting because obviously he was there earlier. He did a really good job.
I mean, he dug them all out this of stuff hell.
After all the Jerry Sandusky stuff going on. That's an interesting question. I don't know. I mean, you don't see it a ton, and usually when it happens, it's like Johnny Majors went back to Pittsburgh in the 90s, you know, and it's like, yeah, just the
Johnny Majors was an old man at that time.
Yeah, but I mean, in 1993 or whatever, yeah. Was he that much older then than Bill O'Brien is now? Regardless, that second thing, I don't know. For whatever reason, it seems like it just doesn't work out. But yeah, maybe.
Left on good terms.
Yeah.
Seems to me.
All right, well, we can talk more about this, but when we come back, best and worst in sports. Robbie and Rex are 102.5 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time! This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of week again, best and worst in sports, and they let me go first all the time, which is great. Makes it very easy for me. And this week is very easy for me. I kind of said it at the top of the show, guys, but I'm going to say it again. My best in sports is Vanderbilt, period. You're talking about a football team that just went into Knoxville and just laid waste to rival Tennessee, 45-24. You're talking about a quarterback who – right now has become the Vegas favorite to win the Heisman. This weekend will be critical in that, and Fernando Mendoza's performance and success against Ohio State, that might win it for him. But it's going to be – Pavia is going to be in New York, and I don't think he finishes worse than second in the Heisman. I could be wrong. Maybe Jeremiah Love rises up, but I think he's got a real chance to win this thing. You have ranked basketball teams – with Michaela Blake's getting 1,000 points a month into her sophomore season. That's like a good career number for a college basketball player. And the Vanderbilt men's basketball team might be as good as any team in the SEC. Oh, and by the way, Tim Corbin's coaching your baseball team. So right now it is the glory days. Oh, I forgot Jared Curtis flipped from Georgia to Vanderbilt, greatest recruit in school history. Like, this is the glory days if you're a Vanderbilt sports fan. So don't miss that if you're a Vanderbilt sports fan. You should be enjoying the heck out of this. Even though my worst in sports is the College Football Playoff Committee. Look, Vanderbilt's not a slam dunk, but they certainly deserve more regard than they got. They should be a lot closer than they got. I mean, if eyeball test is going to prop up Notre Dame, and I get it. I watch Notre Dame and I think, yeah, they're pretty good. But if that's going to be your guide, Vanderbilt should be right there too. And by the metrics, Vanderbilt's better than Notre Dame. Their metrics, their straight-up resume is better than Notre Dame. And they just got screwed over. They never moved up. They sit there at 14. And I asked Hunter Yurecek the other night, so tell me how Vanderbilt blows out Tennessee in a road game. You just gave credit to Alabama for a tough road game against a rival on the road. Gutty fourth down call. This is some of the stuff he's saying of why Alabama moved up. Gutty fourth down call and all this stuff. So tell me how then Vanderbilt doesn't move up when they blow out their rival on the road, but the rival falls out of the poll. So you can't even give them credit for a top 25. He had no answer. He said some blah, blah, blah and moved on. It's a joke. The College Football Playoff Committee, the whole thing of the weekly rankings and the explanations are bad. This year has hit a new low. Like, the explanations, especially with Yurecek taking over for Mac Rhodes, it's like you got to work on that. It's bad. That is my worst, the College Football Playoff Committee.
Your
PK.
Sport. Your sport.
Yeah,
let
true.
Me go last. May you go.
Oh, okay. Sure, I will go. My best, I put Pavia on there just as a kind of a piggyback. It's been so fun to watch the season and how he runs the offense. Feels like he could scramble almost every play, and yet he has this great ability of finding the leak out, kind of whether it's the receiver or a running back out of the backfield or the tight end. I don't know if that's like a design offense or just the way they have it rolling. It's just fun. Also, Joe put this in the chat. How about this 4-star wide receiver for Virginia Tech, Fat Rat Brown?
Oh, my God.
How about that as a new fun name?
No, my brother sent me this. It is the greatest name. It's the new greatest name in sports. Fat Rat Brown.
Is that birth certificate?
No. My brother said he has a regular name. Same. But he's going by Fat Rat, and my God, that's amazing.
Same with the kid from SMU last night. I can't remember.
Boopy.
Boopy.
Do we have a weight on Fat Rat?
Yeah, it was normal.
Normal weight?
Yeah, he was like 200. He was
he's a good
size wide receiver.
Yeah, he's a receiver.
He looked like some good numbers for a wide receiver.
Maybe
nothing
he was
crazy.
Chunky as a kid. I don't know.
I don't know. If I was a receiver with the chance at getting somewhere, I wouldn't want. It's like lazy for Panda, like Isaiah Wilson. I wouldn't want like any hint of. I hear Fat Rat and I go, oh, I'm not interested in that guy. He's fat.
I don't know, man. I think
I'm not interested in lazy. That turns me off.
I think Fat Rat, and then you're running a 4.4, and people are like, wow, he overcame being a Fat Rat.
Maybe it could be a story of overcoming your name.
That's right.
Yeah, I overcame my nickname that I gave myself.
There you go. Quick. Also, I know this is a lot of Ozzie Weisblatt first goal pointed to the sky to his late brother.
Yep.
Just a nice touch.
That's a very
moment.
Good one.
Worst, I also put the College Football Playoff Committee. It's just been an absolute sham. They have just determined who they want to be in the playoff and changed the argument from there. There's no real rationale other than this is who we want. We're not really sure why, or we're not going to tell you the real reasons why.
Well, they just think they're better. That's what.
Or they think they are going to get the most eyeballs. Like yeah. It just is the way they've handled this is not. Getting rid of that narrative that they care about TV ratings more than anything
else. Just understand, okay, that last year SMU and Indiana got in and Alabama.
Well,
so, I mean, I'm just saying.
But that's because of the way the format is, that they were, like, forced to pick those players,
No, they
right?
weren't. Absolutely
They're
not.
Getting eyeballs.
Oh, no. Everybody anything. Thought Alabama was going to get in for what you just said. So, I'm not – they deserve criticism. The idea that the people in that committee room, these former coaches and stuff, care about, like, the rate, like, that's not.
Yeah, but the – I don't know. They're just not doing a good job of destroying that narrative based on the way this whole situation's going. Yeah. So they've completely butchered that. Also,
all right, so you're going on and on. I got no time.
I know. You'll have time. It's okay. Giants kicker, Younghoe Koo, hitting the ground on that field goal. There you go.
He stopped. Yeah. At least he said he intentionally stopped.
It was just hilarious.
It wasn't a gaffe. But boy,
it was funny.
Look horrible. The best. NBC is loaning Rebecca Lowe to Fox for World Cup coverage. Rebecca Lowe is the single best presenter, as they say in England, on the TV in America. Opposite of Carissa Thompson, who thinks like she is the best thing going. Rebecca Lowe, just modest, just gets the job done. Tremendous and great that she's going to be on World Cup stuff. Worst? Milan for the Olympics, way behind with their ice rink, which is going to be same width as an NHL rink and shorter. I know you guys love hockey. The problem with hockey is there's no space. It used to be in 2014 and 2018 that they used the international rink, which made it tremendous hockey because
there
was actual space. In Beijing, they used the smaller NHL size rink. Sucks. In Milan, they're using an NHL size width, and it's going to be actually shorter.
That is ridiculous.
How is this allowed to happen? Where is the oversight on this? Ice is not finished. The test run is going to be late. The women are going to be like flying by the seat of their pants. It's a crime. The reason the Olympic hockey is good is because there's actually space. Sports with space are good. Sports with no space are bad. That's why hockey is not that good. There's no room for anything to happen. And they decide for the Olympics, hey, let's take away some room.
You've had some tremendous lunatic ravings so far today, but I like it. I like that worst in sports. We come back. We are going to talk Titans coaching search. You guys had a lot of good best and worst. I'll get to those too. Robbie and Rex showed 102.5 The Game.